on Tuesday mornings just after 8:05. We get caught up in city government as Tim Mayer, city councilman, joins us. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you.
We missed you last Tuesday because you were performing a civic duty of counting ballots.
That is true.
So give us. Let's just roll back to Tuesday then. Obviously, the election here in Monroe County threw out some results that maybe we didn't see in most counties in the state. You were in there counting ballots all day. Just give us a little behind-the-scenes action of what you saw on Election Day Tuesday.
Well, it was pretty pretty routine day and counting ballots, but actually, we really don't count ballots. There are ballot counters that do that. What the teams do is they sort the material. They open up the envelopes, take the ballots out, and make sure that the count is correct. And when I say the count, I mean the number of pieces of paper, the envelope, the application, the envelope, the ballot itself are all accounted for in case this is going to become a conversation of counts. But in case there is a recount, then you can go back and find that all the things are either balanced or imbalanced. Once the ballots are removed from the envelope, they are separated from the application form and the envelope itself, which has the voter's information on. So the ballot then becomes a separate piece and is, the teams don't look at the ballots per se. So we really don't count votes. Those are done by people in what's referred to as the counting room, actually. So
was the word of the day?
There were 20 teams of two, I believe.
Is that up or down from previous years? Because we knew the turnout for this election was going to be voluminous.
We were told at the end of the day that we opened just short of 4,000 absentee ballots.
Is that your personal record?
I think that was a record. What's interesting is the ballots, of course, come in by mail. People apply for them through the county clerk's office, and then they come in that way. But then people can vote by email, especially those in military service who are not in the country at this time. They can vote by email, so we see those sorts of ballots coming through as well. So it's a really pretty fascinating process to go through. It involves a lot of opening of envelopes and counting pieces of paper and putting them in the right place. But it's and typically it's teams, bipartisan teams, a Republican and a Democrat, working side by side to count the ballots. So.
How many paper cuts?
I got through the day without any.
You know why? Because you're a professional, a licensed and trained. Now, do you do training sessions when you get there to show all the rookies how to get through the day without bleeding?
No, it's. Find your own way is how to do it.
Now they give you. Do they give you a lunch break, or is this just 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then you go?
No, there is a lunch break. We started. We arrived there at a little bit before 9 o'clock, and most of the teams, with the exception of one or two, were finished by about 2:30 in the afternoon. So that just shows. How people can get together and work together. Many of these people have never done this before, so it's a learning experience for them. But it's interesting to watch the teams work side by side and try to figure out, who's going to open the envelope, who's going to take the rubber band off of this, who's going to count for this. So it's pretty interesting, but it all works out in the end.
I'm grateful that you survived unscathed, and now you go into the real service of your country. Tomorrow night you have a regular city council meeting?
That is correct.
Now, we've been talking this morning. One of the items of your business is the mayor has vetoed the parking commission bill that he received from the city council. And one of our questions we asked earlier was, do you have to act on that veto next week, or can it hold over for a week or so?
I don't have the answer to that, but I do know that I did talk with our council attorney yesterday, and it will be on tomorrow night's agenda. So, and I believe it will require a 2/3 majority to override the mayor's veto. So
that's seven votes.
Whether or not we have I'm sure we do have a window of closure, but the council is going to pick up that work tomorrow and take a vote on it. So.
Tim, how often does the mayor, in your knowledge, how often have you had something come back at you vetoed?
Very rare. I can recall one in Mayor Allison's, and I can recall one or two in Mayor Fernandez. And
so, if it's rare, what do I need to read between the lines, then, Tim?
Well, I think I don't think you have to read between the lines. I think the mayor laid it out pretty well in today's paper. And yesterday in a news release, and basically what the mayor would like to do is do a review of boards and commissions across the city, as well as one of the suggestions he made was that, you know, we do have a bicycle and pedestrian commission, and we do have a traffic commission. You know, is there a way to meld together those two bodies or one of those bodies with the proposed parking commission? I have to get all these words right.
What was the last commission that was added? Do you remember?
Yes, I think the last one was the commission on aging, I think.
How long ago was that, just out of curiosity?
That would have been about 5 years ago.
Okay, so these commissions just don't... We haven't had a rush of them here in the last couple of years where we've got up to this 37 number. These have been established over time, correct?
That is correct. And
so this isn't a run to the front of the line and grab some power kind of type deal.
Well, I think what is unique about the parking commission is that it is coming solely from the city council to the administration, and solely from one council member to the city council and then to the mayor. That is fairly unique in that when we did the commission on aging, when we did the Latino commission, you know, when we do the Sustainability Commission. Those are initiatives that come forward with support between both the administration and the city council. So it's pretty much, you know, we see a need for this. We want to work together. We want to make this work. And in this case, although Councilmember Voland did work with the administration, he did not really have the support of the administration going in the way I understand it. So. Because there was discussion before we voted last time to approve this commission from the mayor's office that they were exploring, they wanted to explore the synergies between the bike bed and the traffic commission.
So, Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. Tim, who's going to be in charge of sorting all through 37 commissions and seeing if they should be combined or put together or pared down or whatever that? What commission do you develop to get that commission to commission that?
Well, that's a good point and a good question. And I believe the mayor also expressed to do a committee that would do it in a fairly judicious way to move through it quickly. So, but really, that I think is just you know, something he is talking about at this time. We really haven't had that conversation between the city council and the mayor's office on that particular issue. So. And this parking commission is the one that's bringing that to the fore for that discussion. So,
interesting. And obviously, yeah. Parking's been a hot topic here since the garages have went up. The meters have been changed. The hours get changed. Everything gets looked at annually. It makes sense. It flows the downtown. And the other part of the downtown that's going to flow, as we saw yesterday, a press release for a big announcement coming up on Wednesday, tomorrow, 10:15 a.m. over there at the West 11th Street Trade. I can't remember the exact building.
Trade District.
The mill, some kind of mill is where this will.
Dimension Mill.
There you go.
Building's called the Dimension Mill.
You again, we don't expect you to spill all the beans there, but that shouldn't be a huge surprise, seeing that the downtown recycling center is going to close. This means action is going to start moving, correct?
That is correct, and I have no beans to spill because I've been told that there is a press conference, but that's all I know.
So they're keeping everyone in the dark.
Keeping it under wraps until tomorrow.
Yep. All right. Well, that sounds good. So we'll be right on the ball for all of that. Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. The city councilman checks in with us. And we missed you last week, but we saw that I don't want to call it the Dunhill. What are we calling the thing over there on between 17th?
Well, I think it is still going by the name Dunhill.
Is it? Okay. I just don't want to confuse people if that's not the case anymore. That went to council. The thing that we found interesting last week that was quote-unquote holding it up was we're talking about a couple of parking spots for businesses and native plants. That's why this was being delayed and delayed again and again.
No, I think you're typifying it wrong. That wasn't holding it up.
Okay.
We actually had a very unique meeting last Wednesday because there were only 6 members in attendance of the 9-member body. So 6 of us were there. It would require a vote of 5 to either to deny it. So if the council decided that it did not want that project to be built there, they needed 5 votes to 5 negative votes to pass a denial. And I don't think those votes ever would have been there. I think there were 1 or 2, maybe 3, that would have voted against it, but that would not have been enough to get the job done. So basically we had 3 what are called, I'll call them friendly amendments, friendly amendments. One was to describe the plant material that would be could be used on the project, so in the landscaping. One was to set aside parking for visitors, and there was one to basically direct the petitioner to advertise more broadly than just to one group of people.
Yeah, grad students and as opposed to undergrad students. Yeah, all those to me just sounded superfluous. Shouldn't that always go on? That just seemed normal.
Well,
what kind of plants you have and what kind of parking you have? I mean, that just sounds like something that can be taken care of in day one.
Well, they could, for take the parking for example, they could have not included visitor parking, and
okay.
So this way it assures it, and the same goes for the marketing and the landscape material.
Who holds them to these? Who holds them to that? If they don't market it that way, what happens? They tear the building down?
No,
that's not going to happen. But
planning staff will review as they go forward. So
because that's great, but who enforces that legislation?
The point of those reasonable conditions is to get a commitment from the developer publicly to say that, yes, they will do these things. So,
okay, to hold the feet to the
fire. They were forthright in their answers. So I feel comfortable with those reasonable conditions. So, but then the issue became more of if it did not pass with 5 yes votes, the project would still go forward because we weren't able to deny it with 5 negative votes. But if it did not go forward with the 5 positive votes, the reasonable conditions would go away. And so the dynamic was kind of interesting to see how that played out. And actually, there were 6 of us. 2 members in their final comments said that they would vote to deny the petition. The petition would go forward, but they were not going to support it. Councilmember Sturbaum asked for clarification on what our vote meant. And hearing that one council member who had talked that they would say they would vote against it, change their vote back to a yes vote. So it went forward with 5 positive votes with the reasonable condition. So it all sounds kind of convoluted, but it was an interesting dynamic to see how that played out. And it was interesting to see that, you know, that the project would go forward one way or the other unless there were 5 negative votes, which there were not. So.
Interesting.
It's kind of an interesting parliamentary walk around. And we needed 5 votes because that is the majority of the 9-member body. So.
No, can I ask you a silly question? You don't have to answer this. If this is such a quote-unquote big deal, where is everybody?
I think it is a big deal. So,
yeah, well, I mean, these people it's their neighborhood, and they look around and they say, well, where the people in the council aren't, they're not even here for this? They don't even, they got other things to do?
One member was out of the country, and that had been announced, and 2 members were sick, I believe. So,
Okay. Well, that's what people want to know. They don't know. They never tell you why they're not there.
I understand.
No, that's why we appreciate having you on every Tuesday. Keith, go ahead.
Tim, let me take you to tomorrow night's meeting because you said something to me that kind of took me aback, and now I need to find out what it's about. A bicycle path from Michigan to Kentucky through Indiana is going to be talked about?
Let's wait for that for 1 second because I think there's one other part of this Dunhill deal that people are asking questions about. There's $1 million going to some magical fund that's not even been named yet for some kind of housing project. Speaking of who's going to keep track of that, where does that go? How does that work? And give us a little explanation, if you would, there.
Well, that's coming forward tomorrow evening. Jeff Underwood, our city controller, will make the presentation. Basically, what the administration is asking for is to set up an account, we'll call it that, an account, a non-reverting account, wherein money that is contributed from developers or whoever can be put and used, therefore, for affordable housing development. And this is an initiative that actually the number of city council members have been working towards for quite some time. We already have an existing housing trust fund, which is kind of frozen in place. So this will be an opportunity to answer some of those questions that council members have been looking towards, a way to take some of the housing trust fund money, which is currently being sequestered, I guess we'll call it, in the community foundation. We'll be able to retrieve part of that money and put it into this housing development fund, along with contributions that come from developers who basically are contributing for, I would say, off-site development. So that's kind of the nexus of what's going on.
Well, is this the new way to that's going to be here forward? So if you built a building a couple of years ago, you didn't have to pony up $1 million or whatever it was to it. This is the new normal then.
It appears to be, and it's coming from the administration. So
if you want to do business here and you want to build here, you're going to have to contribute to the low-income housing fund regardless.
Well, in one way or another. Now, we've seen it play out two different ways. Dunhill has committed to making a contribution to this now forthcoming
instead of having on-site properties that are rent-controlled or different?
That's correct. That's correct. So then what is happening at the, what people refer to as the Chocolate Moose site.
Right.
They have set aside a number of units within the complex for housing for people of affordable housing.
Yeah, I think that's a fair word. Affordable, affordable housing. Yeah. And that's a percentage of the units on the thing. The Dunhill Group
correct.
Says, hey, look, we're not even going to mess around with that. Just tell us where to write the check. We don't want to eat the cookies. We just want to donate to the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, but Tim, there's something about that when you look in from the outside of coercion. I don't know what other words that some people might use, but you're kind of holding up the developer and saying, it may be conditional on the approval that you have to do this.
Yes, but the mayor has to make his case on that. But I think the goal is to find a way to create more affordable housing. Bloomington is probably the highest rent in the state, just because of our relationship to Indiana University and our location, et cetera. When people talk about rents across the state, we are right up there at the top. So, I think we clearly have an issue that we have to deal with, and we need the tools to do that. So, that's where we are, This will be one mechanism to achieve some of those goals.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's no doubt about it. So we'll see how that comes together. Part of your agenda tomorrow night shows where this money will stay, go, be managed by. Great. Perfect.
That's right. And the council has, some council members have expressed concern about, how is that money allocated? How do we appropriate?
Right.
How do we identify the project?
Who can get their hands in it? Who can touch it, move it around, and do all that stuff? We'll put a commission together, and they'll take a look at that and keep it all.
There we go.
Rolling.
Money commission.
Sleeping bags on a scale of five being, oh, my gosh, we're snowed in overnight. How many sleeping bags tomorrow night?
We have a lot of work to do. We haven't even talked about. We do have the Hillside Henderson project coming up tomorrow night. I'm pretty sure we'll be hearing that. I do know that the developer and the neighbors and a small group of council members have been talking with them, so we'll have to see how that comes about.
Now, will they bring their affordable payment to the table on that? They know that's part of doing business now, right?
Well, I think that that proposal includes a number of issues on sustainability,
okay,
which are not part of the ask for, and also I think they have set aside some some units for affordability. So I think they've already addressed.
They've seen
that.
The writing on the wall and know what's there, so they can get it moving faster if they're ahead of all this. So you've got that on the agenda. What else for tomorrow?
We've got that on the agenda. The one that Keith was brought up is that we are being asked by the city's transportation department, the city's bicycle and pedestrian task force, a commission. And the Bloomington Bike Club to approve a route for what's called the United States Bike Route 235, and that is a connection from the state of Michigan to the state of Kentucky through the state of Indiana. And this is an initiative that's coming out of the Indiana Department of Transportation and I believe the federal government. So it's to create nationwide bike routes. And
cool.
What all that means, I'm not quite clear, but that's...
Well, that's why you're having a meeting.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're going to really love this one. We do have an amendment to our municipal code, which will change the meeting times for the city council meetings beginning after the first of the year from 7:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m.
Ooh, I like it. It's almost like your own private daylight savings time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think then we'll have to find a new rating system because a sleeping bag will no longer be relevant.
Well, the sponsor of the amendment to our code is Councilmember Allison Chopra, and she concedes that it will not necessarily mean that we will have shorter meetings. So we actually may have longer meetings.
Oh, because you add an hour, like an hour of daylight. You're right. I didn't think of it that way.
Exactly.
The earlier the 11:30 doesn't sound such a that's oh my. Oh, well, I got you. Okay, so that's gonna be. What's your straw poll vote on that?
So I think we're gonna straw poll on that. I think it will be accepted.
Okay.
So that we will start meeting at 6:30.
Well, I've never got the meeting times right for the last 8 years, anyhow. So this isn't going to confuse me one bit.
Exactly. And then we have a few items of for first reading. One is really budgetary, and the second one is which is kind of interesting, but we can talk about it next week. And that's to open up city facilities for rental purposes. So, but we can talk about that. Council chambers for public events, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that.
All right, sounds good. And because you've got a full agenda tonight, so we'll get a big recap for it next Tuesday as well.
Tomorrow night. You said tonight. Tomorrow night, 7:30.
Told you I never get it right. Wednesday's meeting will be tomorrow night.
There you go.
At 7:30 in council chambers. Tim will join us next Tuesday for a Thanksgiving Day preview. What's on Tim's table? What is he cooking? Who's coming over? And we'll get a recap of the meeting from Wednesday night. Great job,
sounds
as always,
great.
My friend.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Tim
Take
Mayer,
care, Tim.
City councilman. Busy.
Yeah.
For a holiday, week before a holiday, they've got stuff.
Does the city have a liquor license if I want to have a wedding reception?
No, but you can get a one-day caterer permit.
Oh, good.
So don't you worry about a thing there. Keith and I want to rent out the Banneker Center to play a little full court.
Yeah, there you go.
We can do that. I forgot to tell you about our sustainability project here at the radio station. We're going to wrap you in solar panels and make you stand on the roof. That'll warm you up.
That's a lot of solar panels to cover me.
You seen this forecast? It's a lot of electricity.
Uh-huh.
You light it up. Yeah. You light it up. We got sunshine this week, so we're going to use that.